Safely Exposed is an experience intended to
educate without overwhelming,
empower without enforcing,
and elevate without leaving anyone behind.
Let's talk about it.
You know how to play spades?
Oh my God, that question. I used to.
I don't. Well, no, my wife tried to teach me. So I thought that was very sweet, but.
So now do we get our black cards revoked? You know, is that the...
That's a whole game. You know that, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I want... No, actually, do we have it at home? No, we don't. But we have another black card game. And I'm just like, I never played card games growing up outside of Uno and Solitaire.
Uno and Solitaire.
Okay. Did you play card games when you were younger?
Yes, all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never... Unfortunately, my mom thought that somebody was going to do magic on top of my head. That is a thing. In certain Haitian communities.
When using cards?
Yeah.
Playing with cards?
No card playing. And I'm like, is that? As I got older, I understood tarot. And it's funny that I actually have tarot decks at home. Now that I'm older. But yeah.
Well, the tarot decks are modeled after that. That's what, so. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, not ever allowed to learn or play card games at all.
Okay.
It was very shunned upon. So, like, not being able to play spades. Like, when I said this out loud, I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Also, like,
being... It's like, all blackness is not the same.
It's not, we're not a monolith.
Because then there's, like, the subcultures, like, even within a family unit. Yeah. Even if it's not, like, specific to the culture, but specific to the unit.
But have you ever felt judged because you didn't know how to do, like, didn't know something black?
Oh, or absolutely. Like, when I can't do a dance...
I can't dance!
And I can dance. I can actually dance.
Lucky.
I have rhythm and all that.
I got rhythm but coordination.
I used to, but I like to do more free form dance. I'm not so much choreographed, but even though I used to do a lot of choreographed dance. But if I can't get like a choreographed dance and not any kind of these cute little TikTok dances that are going on right now, but like, I just, something in me gets so fiery hot and frustrated and like ashamed. And like, I just want to get it. I want to get it. I want to do it. Ugh.
Okay.
But even how I talk, it's more so with how I talk and the blackness and being made fun of, being called suburban. I don't like my
Oreo.
Mm, yeah.
I've been called Oreo because of the way I speak. I was like, well, I grew up around white people. I grew up in predominantly white spaces. I went to school in predominantly white schools.
Me.
So I wasn't going to sound like black spaces because, and even at home, what did that mean? Because I'm like Haitian. Mm-hmm. And that's even different than being African-American, right? Like, mm-hmm. So culturally, growing up in all white spaces has been seen as better or whatever. But that's another episode that we can talk about. But like, speaking about being black in the suburbs, I remember once I was in a city and this black dude was like, oh, you have a black suburban woman's butt. So like not having a big old butt and has been something that's like taken away from my black card. Which annoys me because I'm like, well, we're not all built the same. Like, we know this.
So you got like black card deductions, but not the card revoked completely.
I don't know that I have a black card. I feel like I do, but like growing up, I just was never black enough. Mm-hmm. You know, was never enough in my blackness. And
being
that
black
was
enough didn't feel so fragile, like maybe like sometimes like masculinity can seem.
Yeah.
But there were just certain things that are like, that seem so crucial.
Staples of
like
blackness.
To being black that you're like, Like I, for one, don't like watermelon.
Oh, okay. I'd never had yams, candied yams.
Yeah.
Or like that black, collards.
Collard greens?
I didn't have any of that till I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but I'm also Haitian. Like, I didn't have that kind of food. So it was like a pass.
And sometimes, right, you get a pass if, like, you know, your family is from a different part of the world.
Yeah.
And that's always like, but why gotta just let me be, like, I'm black.
Why do
like,
I have to fit this stereotype of blackness?
I feel really good when I see certain posts on Instagram where it's talking about like black math.
That new thing like about black math. So I understood a lot of it. And I was like, ooh, okay. I get that.
We share experiences.
Collective experiences, yeah.
That aren't necessarily tied to, like, the culture of, like, if someone's, like, Caribbean.
Yeah.
From a Caribbean family or something like that. So I'm like, it's just so, it's a weird space to be in. Like, I feel this pressure to be Black, but then
to
I feel
fit, yeah.
so proud and it's fun.
Yes.
To be Black. So, like, why is there this negative aspect with, like, so much pride?
Yeah. Because, like, it feels, feeling othered within your own communities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I'm not African American, but I am Haitian. And, like, I definitely have heard people, you're not really Haitian. You've never experienced this. You're not truly Haitian. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but I am, though.
Yeah.
Like, and I hate that. Like, I have to prove my Haitianness. I have to prove my Blackness.
Yeah.
Brown skin. Like, I'm Black boo-boo. There's nobody's looking at me and saying, you're not Black. Like, stop.
Yeah.
But, like, when you speak or, oh, my God, you enunciate so well or da-da-da-da. And I'm like, that's how I was taught to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's the main way in which I talk to speak. I'd get in trouble at home if I did not enunciate or if I used slang or any of that.
Yeah.
So, and it was only me. My parents wasn't distracted by much, so I had to get flash straight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, Blackness, I enjoy being Black, but that's hurt a lot of times where I don't fit.
Right.
Oh, I like classical music, and I listened to that in my car for quite some time in my life. Like, that was it. You got my car, and that's what I was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, girl, you bougie, or you think you're better than I'm like, no, this is my Black experience. Like,
are Black people supposed to feel bad about themselves? Because, like, it's interesting, like, even in being predominantly white spaces, I've been like, I'm Black enough for these white people. Like, just by being brown, not because I had to dance on rhythm, on beat,
or
not because I knew that rap song, not because I was from the hood, not because I had street cred, not because I dressed a certain way.
This is interesting that's your experience.
But Black enough for these white, but the thing is, there's, like, also a negative side to that.
Because
it's the stereotypes that they're just looking for me to fit sometimes, right? And not so much, like, are you Black enough? Do you fit the stereotype? Like, versus, hey, like, there's some cultural things you're missing over here, sister, that you didn't see, that you don't know about. But I'm like, how important is that to the culture? Were you going to tell me I'm not Black enough?
Like, I just have a sense of Black pride, period.
Mm-hmm.
I am proud to be Black, to be descendants of Black people,
mm-hmm.
Haitian people. Like, I just have pride in that.
Mm.
Right. And then when you tell me, like, it doesn't fit this thing, like, I'm like, why does it have to fit this type of Blackness, Haitianness, or whatever, for me to be proud? Like, I'm okay in that. I'm okay with my experiences. They're not your experiences, mm-hmm. but we're all Black. And I also don't want my Black experience to also just be tied to oppression.
Right.
That's not what it means to be Black. There's so much pride and beauty in who we are. And I don't want that quantified by anybody. Like, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, like, the people who gatekeep for a reason, right? Like, when we talk about African-American vernacular English, AAVE, Ebonics.
Right.
I understand that. I understand gatekeeping, code switching in a way.
Yeah.
Because that's been part of survival. That's been part of also how we connect to each other.
Right.
But
it's like, I don't always want everybody that's around to know what I'm talking about.
Right. Right. So I understand on some levels, knowing those things and building connection in our culture. Like, I understand hip hop and rap music to be specifically Black.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was birthed out of Blackness and Black struggle and Black people. Right. Other cultures, other places have used that and it's informed some of their music, but that is specifically from Black culture and to respect that.
Right.
But because I don't know a rap song or because I didn't know, you know, some Luther Vandross song, all of a sudden, my Black card is being revoked or pulled.
Questionable.
You know, can I hang?
Right.
I am totally for Black liberation. I'm totally for supporting my people. And I have pride in my Blackness.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm constantly, I think one of the things that happened with being enough for being Black is that it caused me to feel, there were times where I felt like, well, should I not be focused on being Black since I don't fit in?
Mm-hmm.
Should I just leave this alone and try to fit in somewhere else?
Yeah. Like, look at my other identities. I got, you know,
you know,
my gender, my social class, economic status.
But they're never divorced from my blackness either.
No, it's all, but it's, then you try to, but it's like intersectionality.
Like, I'm always still a black femme in spaces, right? I'm always, you know, we could go
on. You could try to forget, but externally that you're going to be reminded in some way of who you are. And I, when you were talking, I was thinking about my experience as a therapist. Mm-hmm. So, and the, in that space, when clients are seeking me out because I'm black, or they'll say like, I've been looking for a black therapist for a while, or, you know, white clients who are seeking me out in a practice that is all black and brown people. And I'm like, you know, was there, I've been asked like, oh, like, are you specifically like serving a certain population? Because I don't want to take away. So what, coming from a place of just trying to be like, hey, I didn't realize, you know, because some people are just like, I need a therapist.
Yep.
And then there was like brown people who are like, oh, I just wanted a brown therapist. And I'm like, you got to factor in more than just that.
Yeah, just skin
to
color.
Be honest with you. And I'm pretty upfront about this. Like, great that, you know, you're also making an assumption that we have a bunch of shared experience. And even though we could, we might, that's not enough.
That's not enough.
That's not enough.
You want to know about my skill level, right? Mm-hmm. I want to know how good are you as a therapist and your modalities. Are they going to work for me?
I understand though, that is a really big part of like safety and feeling like you don't have to explain certain aspects of your life, or not even it being looked down.
Can I say something on that?
Yeah.
I've definitely had an experience with a therapist or a few where I've had to explain my black experience, because there are white people who are like, you're so strong. And I had, at that point, I had no desire, or being marked as a strong black woman, a strong black femme, did not support what I needed.
Yeah.
I needed my therapy to be, and my therapist to be places where I could cry, where I could break down, where I could be weak and talk about the things that harm me and hurt me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be invincible or strong.
Resilient.
None of that. And I wanted to honor my experiences and the hardships I had. And so once I actually told that therapist, they did their own research. They never brought this up ever again. And I've actually had the benefit of all of my therapists. I've had maybe two therapists of color. I had a black therapist and a Latina therapist years ago. But for the most part in my current life, all my therapists have been white. My psychologist, for the majority, white as well. But I don't know what they're teaching them in school now.
Yeah.
But I haven't had to do that again.
Yeah.
I haven't had, I don't know if, you know, it's continuing education. I haven't had to, you know, even to the point where my therapist was like, in his modalities and what we were doing and what we were working on, he's like, I can't DBT, CBT you out of oppression and out of racism.
Yeah.
So I want to be very clear that like those frustrations and those angers are very valid and those feelings are very valid. But that's a societal thing.
Yeah.
And I was so appreciative to that awareness because it's like, sometimes I've gone to therapy and it's like, well, is you an individual? What are you doing? I was like, I can't change.
Right.
The value system that people are putting on black and brown people and the oppression that that is causing. I can't, just me and in my life. No,
I can't own that, claim that. That's not mine.
But I can recognize when it's happening and I want to come to you and talk about that.
Right.
You know, and the frustrations I have and the feelings that come up from that and find ways to cope.
Well, it's beautiful that you were able to find some competent therapists that were able to have that awareness and knowledge, because like when you're looking for therapy, when you're looking for it, you know, anybody that you're making connections with, you want to say like, is their knowledge and awareness of the black experience enough?
Enough. Because I have you ever had it where you've had a professor that was black or something like that, and their experience was so separate from yours? And the way their worldview was so separate, it made it hard to even connect in the classroom. I've had friends or people who wanted to be my friend talking about like this strength and just pushing through that made me like, no, I can't be friends with you because that sounds like burnout. That sounds like so unhealthy to me. And if that's what you tie to your blackness,
like a struggle bond.
Yes.
Struggle,
and it was like I was seen as weaker or less than as a black person. I wasn't tough enough as a black person because I didn't want to push through. And it was like there's no real option other than like doing things. But yes, I can tell you that like, yes, I'm sad. I'm hurt. Well, that's just the way it is. And mm-hmm. not take that time to process.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's not how I want my Black experience to be.
Right. Right. So, yeah, whenever I feel kind of this pull to, like, play into a stereotype, or just, like, not authentically being me, like, not everything that is going on in Black culture I'm going to be aware about.
Nope.
And I'm not striving to.
No.
Like, to be honest, like, I'm not
actively,
like,
interest.
What's going on in the Black world today? Like, I'm not, because I'm in the world myself. I'm very much involved. The Black experience is my experience.
It's my life. I don't have and to go so, on, what's it called? The Shade Room? Because mm-hmm. that's a whole, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. But yeah, I don't need to go there.
Right. There's all these different pages and mm-hmm. accounts that show the different faces of mm-hmm. the Black experience. And so you don't have to connect with all of them. Some of them might be disappointing. Mm-hmm. Some might be frustrating. Mm-hmm. Some might be really shedding a more negative light mm-hmm. on us, or a more positive light. So what are you attracted to? What are you watching that's going to change your algorithm? You know, like,
yep.
I don't watch every video that people send to me, because I know it's going to make me see a lot of ignorant stuff that yep. I don't want to see. And not a lot of, like, positive. But, you know, some of that ignorant stuff is hilarious, and I'll eat it right up. Depends on the day.
Depends on where you at. What's right. on your mind.
Yeah. And that's the beauty about, right, Blackness and the diversity of our expression. And, you know, nut book one day.
Not right.
And, you know, on your P's and Q's the next.
Exactly.
So it's what it is. What it is for you. What it is for them. What it is for her and him.
Is enough.
Yeah. That's the episode. Bye.
All content and information on this platform, including products and or services, is for informational and educational purposes only, and does not replace medical, psychological, or health advice of any kind with a qualified professional. Take care and be safe.